Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Akash, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Harshdeep Hortico Limited Q4 FY26 investor call. We have with us today Mr. Harshit Hitesh Shah, the CFO and director. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Harshit Hitesh. Thank you. And over to you, sir.
Very good morning to all the investors sitting over here on the panel and on the call. It is an honor to speak to everyone and showcase our quarter four results, which we have done. We have performed very well. So I would like to introduce myself. I am Harshit Shah. I am current CFO and director of the company, Harshdeep Hortico Limited. We are a leading manufacturers of premium planters, garden furniture. We also have started agricultural shade nets, and we have also started 3D printed eco series pots. So let me start with what Harshdeep is. Harshdeep is basically a family business started by my father, Mr. Hitesh Chunilal Shah, in the year 2000. And since then, we have been working very hard in this industry and in this space to encourage people to use pots in order to standardize the gardening needs. And moving forward, we have 150-plus employees currently working in the company. We hold more than 2,000 SKUs. We have a presence over 27 states currently. We have introduced one more new factory, which adds up to three total factories of Harshdeep, and we have a total of seven showrooms all over the country. Moving ahead, we have a lot of different types of techniques through which we manufacture pots. First of them is the roto-molded series, which is which stays for more than 10 years, and that is the highest quality planter that we make. So we provide a guarantee warranty of approximately 10 years in this, and this is a high volume, high margin category for us. In the last financial year, we have done somewhere around 30 to 35% of this category of the total revenue. Going to the next category is the fiberglass, which is the aesthetics are maintained in this kind of a category. And it is hand-painted, it is hand-manufactured. Everything that you see on a fiberglass planter will be handmade by us. Moving ahead is the indoor series, which is highly used by the corporates for gifting purposes, by offices, for keeping it on the tables of the directors and the CEOs. Going ahead, we have the sustainable series, which is highly recommended by us to the Western world, that is the US markets and the Canadian markets and the European markets, as we have successfully entered the US marketplace and the European marketplace in this financial year with the help of this particular raw material, that is the Eco series. So moving ahead, what is Eco series? Eco series is a blend of sugarcane husk, coffee beans, and rice husk. And with the help of these bio producers, we are making the raw material by infusing it with the recycled plastic granules. And we are trying to make it 100% sustainable by using the 100% recycled powder and not the powder which is recyclable. Going ahead, we have a very strong connection, and we have strong contacts with the nurserymen who are growing those plants from a very small size to the desirable size. And we are producing somewhere around 100,000 pots daily of this category. This is basically high volume and less margin area, and we have done somewhere around 30 to 35% of revenue share in this year. As I speak ahead, we have introduced a new vertical, and a vertical that this country has never seen. That is the rotational molding fountains, which are used for indoors and outdoor purposes. So why do I say why we have introduced this for the first time is because no other company in India, even the top roto molding companies, knew about this, but they could never portray this, was because of the complexity of the molds. And the benefit that we give to our customers is that, first of all, it is UV resistant and is weather resistant. It is very much light in weight. So the problem with the fountains earlier was that moving them from one place to another was a headache. And they used to break down, they used to chip off, and they used to fade away. So with the help of this rotational molding technique, we have introduced 10-year warranty on these kind of fountains. So the main USP is the quality. And it is, of course, crafted for the modern spaces. As we go ahead, we have another vertical that is the Agri Shield. So in order to protect the plants from the outside environment, we use a protective layer of clothing, which is used by the nurserymen in order to create the greenhouse effect for the plants to thrive in a desired condition. So that is also a very big market, which is approximately 2,000 crore market eventually. And we have done a pretty good in this vertical as well, as this was our introductory year. And a lot of customers have appreciated the quality and the services that we provide along with that. Moving ahead, we have introduced four new major distributors this year, one in NCR, one in Hisar, one in Aurangabad, and one in Kolhapur. So currently, we have 13 major distributors all over India, one in Kolkata, Hyderabad, Chandigarh, Vishakhapatnam, Patna, Kolhapur, Aurangabad, Jaipur, Vishakhapatnam, Hisar, NCR, Kolkata, and Mumbai. We have two warehouses all over India, one is in Bhiwandi, one is in Bangalore. With the one more manufacturing facility added to our portfolio, we have three different locations of our factories. One is in Pune, one is in Delhi, and one is in Bhiwandi. The biggest factory would be in Bhiwandi, approximately 1 lakh square feet of working space. The second will be the Pune, 40,000 square feet approximately, and Delhi will be somewhere around 20,000 to 25,000 square feet. Moving ahead, we have seven showrooms, one in Rajahmundry, one in Ahmedabad, one in Mumbai, two in Pune, and one in Delhi. So we have plans of expanding our reach with the help of showrooms all over India. So we have plans of expanding in this space as well. We have successfully exported to two new countries this year. One was in Canada, one was USA, and one was the Netherlands. And we have successfully exported in countries like Kuwait, Tanzania, Oman, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Nepal, Taiwan, New Zealand, and Australia. As we go ahead, I have explained that we manufacture the pots with the help of a lot of different techniques, injection molding technique, rotational molding technique, blow molding technique, and fiberglass planters. Speaking of the revenue that we did for this year in H1 was somewhere around 32 crore 64 lakhs. And in 2026, H2, we have done somewhere around 36.1%. So we have in the year 24-25, we had done in H1 was 24 crores, 90 lakh rupees, and the H2 was 31 crores, 51 lakh rupees. So there is a significant increase in the revenue of H1 and H2 in the year 25-26. Speaking about the EBITDA, it has increased from 5.95 to 8.4 in H1 and 9.0 crores to 11.3 crores in this H2. Speaking of the PAT, we have increased the PAT from 4.22 to 5.7 crores in H1 and 5.47 to 6.82 in H2 in comparison from 24-25 to 25-26. I will be uploading the presentation on the BSC website so that everybody gets a better understanding of the balance sheet and the numbers of Harshdeep. And if there are any questions, we are, of course, available on the email to answer them. Thank you so much, everyone, and thank you so much for listening. We can start the question and answer now.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from the line of Mr. Raj Shah from RK Family House. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
What is the revenue breakup between B2C and B2B? And is B2B order book driven? Then what is the current order book?
Currently, we are doing, majorly we are doing B2B. That would be 75% of our business. B2C will be the other 25% of our business, but we are more focused towards the B2B businesses because it will help us grow in volume. And when we say B2C, it is only required for us in a specific category, that is the garden furniture, because we have understood this year that a lot of people are trying to approach us directly in order to buy the garden furniture and the garden fountains. So that is a brand that will be going towards the B2C, but the pots business will be purely B2B. And if you ask me about the current order book, we have three orders lined up of the airport. One is Lucknow, one is Mumbai, and one is Visakhapatnam, which comprises approximately 1.5 crores. And other orders are continuously running off our own showrooms around the clock as the season is going to come up and the monsoons are already setting up. And that is a favorable condition for us to do business.
Okay. Can you throw some light on rotor molded fountains? What is the market size in India versus developed world, and are we eyeing export in this segment or not?
So as I said, that we have newly introduced the fountains of rotor molded, and the country has never seen a rotor molded fountain before. So I would say that we have a very good niche that we have connected. And as you speak of the exports, so it is a very big market in USA and in European markets. So if you tell me the decorative fountains will be in the export, it will be somewhere around $1.3 to $1.5 billion.
Okay. And what is the current import and export mix? Domestic sell and export mix.
See, as I said, that we have recently introduced it in the month of March. So, we are...
Overall.
So, there is nobody doing any kind of rotation molding fountains over here in India, as I said. Nobody has done it. We are the first ones to introduce it, so we are trying to gather as many numbers as we can currently.
So I meant overall revenue. From overall revenue perspective, how much is export?
Of the company?
Yeah, of the company.
Yeah, okay. So this year, as we know, there were some geopolitical issues arising, so we have not really... got what we were supposed to do, but we have done somewhere around, say, 2% of the total revenue in exports.
Okay. And, sir, what is the current capacity utilization and what can be the peak revenue possible from current infrastructure?
I'm sure I cannot give the numbers out according to the rules and regulations, but I would say that we are comfortable to do at least 35 to 40% growth from the current infrastructure. And we have also increased our infrastructure in this financial year in order to grow more exponentially. As I said, okay. We have introduced one more factory in Delhi, and we have introduced one more warehouse in Pune in order to manufacture the shade nets and in order to manufacture the pots in the northern market, because we are trying to eliminate the logistics cost, as it will help us getting advantage with our competitors to sell it at a more competitive rate, and we could provide the stock as soon as possible to all our customers.
Okay. Sir, according to regulation, you can always give us current capacity utilization and peak revenue potential. I'm not asking you for the guidance like we will do this year that much and all that, but I'm asking the amount which we have invested, out of which how much revenue is possible.
We are very much comfortable of doing anything above 100 crore with the current infrastructure.
Okay. Thank you. I'll be back in with you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Keshav Garg from CCIPL. Please go ahead with the question, sir.
So, Harshit, I understand that we were expecting somewhere around 85 crore revenue, which we have fell short of in a big way. And for FY27, the guidance was 115 crore. So, I mean, realistically speaking, what's a realistic number for FY27? Or instead of a number, why don't you just give a ballpark? Like we can grow our business by 20%, 15%, 25%, something like that, instead of firm numbers.
So Keshavji, as I said, that this year, in the second H2, we saw a lot of irregularities in terms of raw material available. There was no LPG gas available, as the whole rotational molding machinery of ours works on LPG gas, which we were cut off for approximately 2 months. And there were labor shortages because of non-availability of LPG gas to the lower class and the labor class. And we tried to protect their LPG, and we did a lot, but there were a lot of issues that we faced. And we had also a very big order book, which we had to, which we couldn't supply, because we couldn't produce that much amount of pots and furniture. So the biggest disadvantage that we had was non-availability of raw material A. The prices shot up 20 to 25%, and as we come into luxury goods, and we're not into a commodity or essential goods, so people started decreasing their orders. And then we faced acute shortages of LPG gas, which we couldn't manufacture the pots. So these were the few reasons that we couldn't come to the promised turnover. Because of the rising prices, a lot of big projects were also deleted from the portfolio. So these were a few reasons that we saw, and but still we were able to achieve 69 crores, which was promised to 85. But yeah, I won't say that we couldn't achieve what we promised, but we have achieved the best according to the current scenario.
Yeah, I appreciate the headwinds, Harshit. So that's why I'm saying, keeping everything in mind in your best judgment, and I'm not talking only about FY27, let's say for the next 3 years, what is your aspiration? Mm-hmm. At what rate do you realistically feel that we can grow this business?
Basically, coming again to that point, if the geopolitical conditions go back to how they were, then we are surely positive on 25 to 30% of growth every year that we can see, which is realistic.
Sure. Now, Harshit, as you alluded, that the raw material price...
Keshav, sir, sorry to interrupt you. I would request you to join back the queue for more questions, sir.
Yeah, just let me complete my last question. So, Harshit, now the raw material prices have gone up. So, have you taken any price hike? And what should the shareholders expect on the margin front? Can we sustain the 30% margin, ballpark?
So we are trying to maintain the margin, but as I cannot really put the whole amount on my customer, because they'll run away. I'll be very honest to you, because we have to compare our rates with the competitors as well. And everyone has done a 20 to 25% hike in their prices, and that is how much we have done as well. But moving along, if the condition worsens, I don't think so. As a company, we will be putting the whole burden on our customers somewhere. We will help out our customers in order to expedite the orders. But I'm sure that we will be keeping the margins as hard as possible. Like, we will be clenching it to it as much as possible.
Sure, Harshit. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Prashant Kale from Star Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Ashit. Hello.
Hi, Prashant. Please tell me. Sir, you're not audible.
Prashant, sir, can you just speak a little louder?
Hello?
Your voice is not audible.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello? Hi, Ashit. Congrats on good set of numbers in this difficult time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
My question is, we had almost 2 months of gas supply disruption. Now, is it completely restored and we have full gas supply to run all the three facilities at full capacity?
Sir, you're not audible. Can you please speak a bit loud? Hello?
I believe Mr. Kale is not in the queue anymore. He has left the queue. Let us take the next question from Mr. Lau Gupta from Counter Cyclic Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, capital increasing.
Gupta, sir, would you
audible?
Speak a little louder and clear? Because
can you speak a bit loud?
Hi, am I audible now?
Yes, you are very much audible. Please.
So, sir, our working capital days have been increasing year on year. So, what steps are we taking to keep that in check? And what is a sustainable level that we can expect to reach over, say, 1 or 2 years?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Am I audible?
So, can you please repeat your question?
So our working capital days have been increasing year on year. So what was the reason for the same and what sustainable level can we expect to achieve and what improvements can we expect to see over the next 1-2 years?
So coming on this question, as you said, the working capital is very much required for us is because we are increasing our capacity every day. We are trying to reach every corner of this country. That is only possible if you infuse the funds in terms of stock, in terms of current assets. And the receivables are going to increase as we increase the businesses. As for this financial year, particularly, we have a few customers who have done phenomenally very nice, which we have seen like a growth like 100%. So in order to support these kind of businesses, we have to give them some kind of credit. And as the business increases, so does the credit also increases according to that. But we are actively asking for credit from the customers who are not doing that big of a business. But we are surely on behind the back in order to get our payments back. So that is one of them. We are also trying to cut down the salaries and the expenses of the company in a way in order to curb the working capital. But we are sure that something like inventory, we will have to hold the inventory of this number in order to grow. Because one particular order comes in, for example, say G20 was there, say some Modi ji had to come over here just for the inaugural of the airport. They had to provide them pots worth 1 crore instantly in a span of 2 weeks. So something like this, some events do arise like this. Because of that, we have to keep our inventory high. And of course, as we are opening up new stores and dark stores all over the country, that also contributes in the increasing of the inventory.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Prashant Kale from Star Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah.
Hi, Ashik. Thanks for the opportunity.
Hi.
My question is, we had almost 2 months of disruption in gas supply. Is it now fully restored and is it sufficient to run all our three facilities at full capacity?
Still there are a few things like the prices of the raw material has been hiked by 60%. The raw material, the LPG gas is still not streamlined because they are more focusing towards the domestic use of the LPG gas. And even the labor shortages are there, as we are seeing, because the prices of petrol and diesel has also increased, and a few statements from the political parties have really frightened them. But we are trying our best to make sure that everything runs smooth.
But the, how much capacity is affected, like 10% capacity, 20% capacity, how much is affected?
Sir, we have three different divisions of manufacturing, and all of them require different kinds of raw material. And, for example, in injection molding, rotational molding, we require LPG gases, and blow molding, we require top material, PP and CP. So acquiring all of them has a problem, but I would say 10% of our facility has been affected because of all the regulations.
All right. And for shared net
sorry to interrupt, Prashant sir. I would request you to join the queue once again for more questions.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Gunit Singh from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. Can you please give me the current product-wise revenue and margin mix for planters and the illuminated products, the new outdoor furniture and the shed that we have introduced?
Yeah, sure. I'll give you that. Just hold on. Just a second, I will get back to you on that. Yeah. So revenue-wise, the roto-molded series has done somewhere around 30.66% of the total revenue. The grower series has done 42 to 43% of the margins. The shade net has been introduced this year, and we have done somewhere around 3% of the total revenue. Then the decorative series comprises of approximately 14% of the revenue mix. The eco series has done somewhere around 1 to 2% of the revenue mix. The fiberglass has done somewhere around 3.78% of the revenue mix. The garden furniture has done 1% of the revenue mix, as it is a new category and nobody else has been doing this in India, and we are the only ones pushing it all over the places. So this is our revenue mix of all the categories comprising.
Got it. So what percentage of us say the B2C, and we have 7 showrooms currently, right? So I just would like to understand the sales from our showrooms and the margins that we get from the B2C sales. And do we have any plans to expand in that direction, whatever experience has been?
So coming to your question, B2C is something that we were not focusing primarily, and why do we have showrooms all over the places, I will tell you, I'll explain you, is because we wanted the logistics to be easier for all our dealers and distributors in these cities. So basically, the main purpose of us to open up a showroom was to improvise the logistics and improvise the chain logistics by supplying the goods to the all of these kind of traders with the help of our showroom, and we only deal to wholesalers from all of the showrooms, and we don't really do retail in terms of planters, but we do retail in fountains and furniture. So now we have, in order to improvise our B2C connect, we are opening up an e-commerce website wherein we will be selling the furniture and the fountains online as well. So we are trying to push planters into B2B and the fountains and the furniture into B2C marketplace.
Got it. So how much is the B2C sales currently?
The B2C sales will be somewhere around say, sir, it is very difficult for me to bifurcate between the B2C and B2B currently, is because these showrooms do invoicing on the terms of customers. So ballpark figure, if you tell me, I will be able to tell you approximately 15 to 18% of my current revenue will be going towards the B2C.
Got it. And my last question would be...
I would request you to join the queue once again, sir. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Mustafa Kedwala from Cube Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, Harshit, and congratulations on issuing the first dividend.
Thank you.
So you said that the raw material prices are up by around 60%. That's the PP prices, I believe. And you also said that we have increased prices by 20 to 25% of our product, right, on average?
Yes.
So is that
not
enough
on the MRP, but on the wholesale prices?
Okay, sure. So is that going to be enough to cover the inflation that we have experienced in our raw material costs? And how much of it have you not passed on according to your best estimate?
So basically all the competitors and everyone has increased the price list by 25 to 30%. But even like after increasing to that level, we have seen that the customers are not willing and they are still anticipating that the conditions will go back to normal in a matter of few days. So everyone is holding back and they are waiting and watching the current scenario. And as PM has also informed everyone to not spend on unnecessary things. So even that is a very big sentiment going on in the current market. But still, looking at the numbers of April and May from last year, we are still doing the same. So there is no dip in the business as of now because of all these conditions. But we are not seeing any exponential growth as well, I'll be very honest to you. But as soon as the raw material prices go down, there are a lot of orders in line that are going to be placed for the big projects, big infra, Adani, and Reliance as well. So everyone is currently holding back and coming back to your question that it has gone by 60% and we have just done 25% hike. So yeah, we are trying to somehow collaborate all the expenses. We have downsized the office as well in order to reduce the expenses as well. And we are not really imposing high numbers to our customers because we don't want them to frighten away from us. And Hasdeep being the premium most player in this industry, we do command the pricing, but we don't want to really, frighten away our customers. So somewhere we are trying to curb the margins, but we are not doing it on a very high scale. But yes, somewhere we have to look out for our customers as well.
So this is quite interesting what you've mentioned. So the grower series that we have, basically, you know, where the injection molded small pots which are used by the nurseries to grow, are we seeing even them deferring the purchases from us? Or is it only roto molded fancy series?
Only the roto molded and the fancy decorative series has been highly affected due to it. But the major business, as I said, 40% of the revenue which comes from the grower series, is not affected that much. Of course, it is going to get affected because the diesel and petrol prices have gone up. And for the commercial purposes also, it has exponentially grown. But we won't see a surge of 60 or 50 or 40%. We have seen a surge of 10 to 15% increase in that segment. And everyone has supported that growth. Even the customers have understood why are we increasing the prices. And there is no other argument towards it that we have done it in order to increase the margin, but only to sustain the current prices.
So do you foresee a shift from organized to unorganized? Because I think 18% GST they have to pay on our pots.
So a lot of organizations are trying to eliminate the cash factor as there is a vouch of IT department on all the nurseries. So this year, we were surprised to see a lot of people are actually going and asking for the bills and that are the customers that we are supporting them. And we, as I said, that we only appreciate people who want a GST. And in that segment, we have seen a surge of consumers as people have tried to stop the unorganized market because the flow of material was not that great. The quality is not that great. And of course, the IT department is on the back on all our customers because nursery is in a very shadow place, in a shady place, wherein they really have not stated they have not stated like how to work properly. So, for example, Ugao, they also face some kind of litigation. Since then, they have stopped buying it from the unorganized players and they have shifted to us because we provide them with all the GST bills.
What percentage of our turnover comes from Ugao? I think they are our largest customer.
So like Ugao, Ugao must be doing somewhere around 10% of my business. So this year, he has grown more than 100%. So from 1 CR, he has grown to somewhere around 10 CR this year.
Okay. Sure. So, and last question is, you know, you said that this year we hope to grow by around 25-30%, but let's assume that the problems that we are currently facing, especially inflation and raw materials, etc., continues.
Yeah.
I don't think we will be able to grow by that number clearly.
Sir, currently, as I said, if everything goes back to normal, as the prices which were 100 rupees, 120 rupees per kg, which we are paying right now 160, 170, which went to 220 as well. So, the growth is going to get affected, and it is not only us, but the whole plastic industry is facing this problem.
Got it. And last question from my end. See, if you see our receivables and our inventory.
Mustafa ji, I cannot hear you. Can you please be a bit loud, please?
Yeah. The inventories in our books have gone up by 62% and our receivables are up 51%. So did we do some pre-stocking in anticipation of increasing in raw materials?
So we have not done any kind of stocking as such because, of course, there was non-availability of raw materials for a very long time. We did anticipate this kind of a situation coming in, but they only held stock for like 15 to 20 working days. As we also thought that this is a temporary condition and everything will go back to normal, but as we are seeing it currently, we see no solution towards the war.
Okay, I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Raj Shah from RK Family Office. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, last year in H2, we did EBITDA margin of 28%, and this year in H2, we did 31% EBITDA margin despite headwinds. So, what is the reason for that, and is there a product mix change, H2 versus H2?
So we introduced fountains, as I said, in H2. Hello.
Yeah, sir, but fountains portion of revenue will be very less, right? Like
yeah.
It cannot increase margin from 28.
So, but usually, as H1 is usually less than the H2, is because in H1 it is all about monsoon. So I will explain you why. A lot of nursery people come and buy grower pots from us, and grower pots is a high volume, less margin, less turnover product. And when you go to H2. H2 is all about festivals. Diwali comes in, New Year's comes in, Christmas comes in. So a lot of festivities, a lot of new openings are placed after Navratri, after all of these processes. So usually H1 is less because they are still producing the plants in a smaller pot. And when you go to H2, all of these plants are shifted from a small plant to a big plant, which is the roto-molded planter, which is the blow molded, which is a decorative series, which is high margin, high volume again. So if you see our presentations, always the H1s have been less than the H2. It's because the landscaping and the big projects only start after Diwali, after Navratri, because monsoon sets in, winters are about to come, and the plants only thrive in these kind of conditions.
Okay.
And sir, I wanted to know the process of large B2B orders like when you sell to Adani or any other infra, is there a tendering process? How do you get the order? How do you find out that there is a requirement? And that is the question.
So as I said that we are giving to all the big corporates like L&T, all of the, like for example, Adani, Reliance. So all the horticulture, so basically there is a system, there is a ecosystem which spans. So horticulture is not a very big industry. And we know horticulturists who are sitting in Lodha, Kalpataru, in Adani, in Reliance, because we have somehow connected to through them. And this is not a very old industry. This industry has only come up in the last 25 years. So the relations between us and the horticulturists of all the big corporates, all our interests lie in the same way, because they want quality, they want the litigation, and no other unorganized player in this industry is ready to supply such huge quantities, such quality, such experience, and such after-sale services from us. So, being in this industry for more than 25 years gives us an advantage that everyone in this space knows what Harshdeep does and where do we lie. Also, there were a lot of requests from Atal Setu for the new coastal project. So, all of them, they come to us and we actually design the planters for them. So, the new Navi Mumbai airport which was done, the whole ideation of the pots started from us. And then we help them increase, and then they put in a tender, and then we sign the tender. And they have a software wherein all the big tenders come over there, and over them. Then we fill in the tender and we get it. Half of the times what we do is we ask the subcontractor to put in a tender, because we require 100% payment on big orders. So our subcontractor does the tendering, and then we sell it to him, and then he sells it ahead. Because we want to, we need a security on our payments, which is very much strictly done over here in this company.
Okay, so sir, like I thought, these were the direct orders you directly sell to Adani because of the value which you add. So on the basis of that, two questions. One. Are we trying to sell directly to them, or there will be always their horticulture contacting us, or are we directly trying to sell them? And second question is, what is the margin differential? Like when you sell to the distributors versus when you sell to these big projects, what are the margin difference?
So distributor margins and the big project margins are the same. We don't differentiate in any which way. So how we differentiate discounts is on the order value. So if your order value is above 50 lakhs, then we provide you, say, 50% discount. If your order value is above 20 lakhs, we provide you 45% discount. So this is how our discount structures vary. We don't have a fixed discount to anyone whom we are given, but of course, to our distributors, they have to order this kind of quantity in order to satisfy all the customers.
Okay, so sir, but if there is a project business, like you said in Navi Mumbai, you designed everything, so why you are not charging higher? And my first question was that are we trying directly reaching to infrastructure, infra projects, or there will be a in between middleman?
Sir, so how this works is if you want landscaping to be done. So what you do is you don't go to another plant guy, you won't go to one pot guy. What you will do, you will hire a landscaper, and that landscaper, you will tell them that I want pots from this company, I want plants from this company. So this is how they differentiate and how they process the orders. So the landscaper himself will come to us, he'll tell us in the BOQ that the planters are Harshdeep, and the plants are from, say, XYZ nursery. So we try to accommodate everything possible in our portfolio.
Just last question, like in project business, why don't you charge higher? Because as you said, you design the pots, you design everything. Then why don't you charge higher?
Sir, it will be, as I said, we handsomely keep 17.17% margin, and any vertical taking anything above, and you know, we try to maintain the prices as well. And looking ahead, as the scenario is changing, doing such a practice is something we won't be doing, because we have some certain kind of margins fixed, and we won't go below that, and going above that, something I don't really support that, because finally the customer has to pay the price, and whatever price they're paying is equivalent to what they're getting. So overcharging, okay, and like, you know, this is really not how we work.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. We have another follow-up question from Mr. Prashant Kale from Star Capital. Please,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Harshit, is there any plan for any capex in FY27 and onwards?
Sir, currently we are quite comfortable with the capex, and if there will be anything, then of course we'll discuss.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. We have one more follow-up question from Mr. Mustafa Kedwala from Cuban.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Harshit, so we mentioned that we want to launch our own website to sell directly to customers, especially the water fountains, etc. So I believe we also sell on Amazon and other e-com websites.
Absolutely. So fountains is a line that we are directly going to go like an end consumer brand. Like how is Pepperfry, for example, you know, furniture, online rentals and everything.
Okay, so you will go via Pepperfry, the likes of Pepperfry and these companies.
Yeah.
No, but what about Amazon and all? How much do they contribute to our turnover?
Sir, like for example, it is not that great, because there are other sellers on Amazon, like Ogao is there, then Craftseed is there, who are our dealers, and they put our listing only on the Amazon, on Meesho, on Flipkart. So we do put our listing, but our pricing is slightly higher than theirs, because we don't want to disturb their audience. But in fountains and in furniture, we don't have any kind of liability or any kind of responsibility. So we are on our own over there, and we will be selling it directly to the consumers also.
Okay. And what kind of growth or what kind of business are we doing in this? And how much do you expect the contribution from this furniture and this agri-field business, let's say 3 years and so?
So currently, we have optimized 100% efficiency in manufacturing. So we are increasing the machinery in AgriShield as I'm speaking, is because we saw a phenomenal growth, and everybody really appreciated the kind of quality that we are giving them. So currently, we are overbooked in that segment, and we are increasing the machinery to more two numbers. And as moving forward, rotational molding is our forte. So in the fountains, and this is going to be a super hit, and we have already launched it. We have already a waiting of 15 to 20 days currently on the fountains. So we are overbooked in all our verticals currently. So, and yeah, that is a very great thing, and we really got motivated looking how the people really appreciated the new designs and the new technology that we have gotten.
So that's fine. What I want to understand is how big this, right now the base is negligible. So growth 100% also on 0.1 is not that big a deal. I'm thinking 3 years henceforth, how much do you expect it to contribute to your overall business? Can it become 10, 20, 30% of sale?
10-20% is something which I shouldn't be saying, because it is a very big jump from 1% to 10% in terms of, because I need to increase the production. Currently, we are running on 100% efficiency on the shade nets. And the fountains is something that I can grow exponentially, because the machinery is with me. The molds are something that is limited, but I can get order the molds from places immediately as well. I can see both high growth in the fountains and in shade nets. Of course, we can see a 100% growth of what we are doing currently, as we are increasing the productivity also in this year. We have also put the solar panels above our factory. So we are going to see increase in the profit also this year, is because by eliminating the electricity bills of Pune.
So again, I'm coming back to the same question. Fountains, we can ramp up because we have the roto-molded machines, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And shade nets also, I think we had invested in a better machine at our Pune facility, which you're saying is now 100% booked. So how much can that contribute to sale? Let's say if you don't do capex in the next 2 years, let's say. So like 5% of turnover, can this new category contribute?
So yeah, as I said, it was our first introductory year of shade net this year. So we really didn't go all in, and we wanted to do it as a trial phase, which we were successfully to do it. And this year we have increased the space of manufacturing. We have introduced more machinery as well. So we can expect approximately 10 to 20% growth from what we did last year.
Last year, we did 3% of our turnover came from shade net. So this year, basically 3.5% will come from there. So marginally nothing much.
Of course, 5% is some 2% growth, of course, we can see with the increased machinery.
Okay, so. Okay. Got it, Ashit, and hopefully we will do a con call in the next earnings season as well.
Yeah, we are going to do it after H1 results also. So probably I will be more comfortable to speak on the shade nets and the current scenario, how they are. And of course, all we will be in contact. Of course, everyone has my email as well. I will be putting it on this. So if there are any questions, I can also answer them.
No problem. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. We have one follow-up question from Mr. Prashant Kale from Star Capital.
Hi, Harshit.
Hi.
We have installed these solar panels. So how much is the capacity of the solar and how much saving do we expect on the electricity?
Well, we will be saving approximately 10 to 15 lakhs a month currently on the current projections.
And how many megawatts is it?
For 1 second, I will just check and I'll get back to you. Sir, I don't have the exact number, but of course I will take your email ID down and I will get back to you on this question.
Sure, sure. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Gunit Singh from Counter Cyclic Investment. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. So I would like to understand that we already have 7 showrooms. And you mentioned that in retail we are just selling the furniture and fountains. So I would like to understand, why are we not selling our main products, which are the pots and planters, to the retail? What is stopping us from doing this? Because we already have the network and we already have showrooms.
So, sir, why I would explain you is because we have a set of dealers and distributors of planters all over the country. And they have been selling our pots since a very long time. And if we come directly into the picture, I might get one or two big retail inquiries, and I can take a bigger margin from a couple of customers. But that wholesaler has been giving me brand loyalty. He has been giving me business for a very long time. So we as a company, we really don't like taking away anyone else's business just because of the price war. And we are selling it to the consumers who come to our factory, and if they are not aligned with any of our wholesalers, then only we provide them with the material. And reason why we have showrooms all over in 7 different locations, as you see, they are all A-tier and B-tier cities where the distribution of our pots was not that great. So that is the reason we went over there, we set up a warehouse, we started encouraging the wholesalers to purchase pots in smaller quantities and keep it in their showrooms, as we wanted to increase the distributorship and not sell it from our own warehouses and from our own because I don't want to eat up anyone else's business, and we have been dealing with these kind of wholesalers since a very long time now. So coming directly
got
into
it.
The picture disturbs the ecosystem.
Got it. So when you mentioned that B2C was 15%, you included the sales through these wholesalers and distributors as well in that?
No. That is not included.
Got it. I mean, if we include that also, what percentage of total sale would be B2C?
Sir, can it be a bit loud? I can't hear you properly.
I'm saying if we include the sale what percentage of sales would be B2C if we include all the wholesaler distributors which sell directly to end users?
Sir, we have a lot of different varieties of pods. So now I will tell you the pods which are used by the nursery men to grow the plants. So we supply those kind of pods to everyone. So that kind of a pod is high volume, less margin, and we have to do it do the supply directly to the end consumers because the margins are paper thin, and the competitors really work on that kind of model. So for me, explaining it to you in that way is a bit difficult because a lot of wholesalers come to these kind of depots of Harshdeep, which are there in Rajahmundry, and a lot of people also travel from Kolkata. They come to Rajahmundry to these kind of warehouses and they purchase it from there just because the truck is being loaded in plants. And now again, why my showrooms are there in Pune and Rajahmundry and Bangalore is because that is a hub of plants. So a lot of people come to that marketplace in order to purchase the plants. And if there is some space, they put the pots as well in that. So that is the reason we have the showrooms over there in Pune, Rajahmundry and Bangalore. So you got my point that differentiating it into that segment will be a bit difficult for me right now. But of course, I can work the numbers and I can come back to you.
Got it. Thank you very much. And I want to understand from the new product launches or existing products, is there some product which you feel which will grow to a very significant proportion of revenues which is not contributing today? So in terms of the
fountain and the shade nets are going to increase for sure, and we see a great future in that.
Okay, what kind of a growth are we looking at the fountains? So you mentioned I think it was 1% of revenues currently, right?
Stating what kind of growth I will be seeing is a bit difficult currently because everyone is frightened, sir, right now, and not many consumers are willing to spend money on lifestyle and on commodities which are not an essential commodity. So probably by the end of H1, I will be in a very better position to say that what kind of growth are we seeing right now. Right now, we are just focusing how we can increase the distribution and how we can provide our customers the best price we can by not
Got
reducing
it.
The margin.
Got it. And you mentioned that 10% of our capacity was compromised because of the current situation, approximately 10%, right?
Correct.
So, are you talking about 10% on the FY26 base? So, for example, what I'm trying to say is that if this situation continues, so are you saying that we would not be able to match the revenues in FY26?
I'm not saying anything right now because we all are observing the conditions and we all are facing the same issues as the petrol and diesel. The day petrol and diesel prices increases, the whole chain and the whole life cycle of every commodity changes because transport hits, all the products get hit because of it. So currently, if I'm giving someone a pot, what I used to give them earlier, they're already paying 25% higher prices. In pots, they will be now paying at least 10 to 15% extra on the transport as well because of the current hike in petrol and diesel. So, commenting on what kind of goods are we looking and what we are doing is a bit difficult for me to say right now as we are all closely monitoring the situation. And as I said again, that we are not here to compromise our margins. in this current scenario.
Got it.
So we are trying to hold the margins and increase and give a growth, but currently stating a number is a bit difficult for me.
All right. Noted. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next follow-up question is from Mr. Prashant Kale from Star Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Hi, Asik. It's not a question, but it's just a suggestion. Like you said, Pune, Rajahmundry, and Bangalore are the hubs for nursery. Mm-hmm. But you probably missed one more hub. That's Guwahati in the northeast. So do we have any operation or showroom in Guwahati?
So we have it in Kolkata. That gives the distribution to all the seven sisters. We are now upcoming one showroom in Lucknow, one in Ludhiana, and we are looking very promising on that. By that, we will be increasing our spot in the northern India, which will be very strong now. We are going to strategic places now.
Yeah, but I think Guwahati is a big center for nurseries and plants. So I think you should evaluate the idea to put one more showroom in Guwahati.
So we already have a distributor who is coming up with a showroom for us in Guwahati.
Oh, that's great.
So we don't want to disturb that. So we have a warehouse in Kolkata that will be supplying all the requirements to the showroom in Guwahati.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, sir. In the interest of the time, that will be the last question for the day. Now I hand over the floor to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you everyone for closely listening to this call and for all the insight that I've got from you all. And if there are any other further questions, I will be sharing my email ID in the presentation. Please do let me know if there is anything else, how I can help you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using those Bus conference call services. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Thank you.